Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm chapter 25. Psalm 25. We'll begin in verse number 1. Psalm 25, we'll read verses 1 down through verse 6 responsively. So you join me as we come to the even-numbered verses. Psalm 25, verse number 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have ever been old. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we have the privilege once again today to meet together in this place and be around folks that love you, around folks that want to do right, want to serve you. Now, as our preacher comes, we ask that you'd give him your power. May he speak to our hearts. May we listen, our ears tuned to thee, listening for the message that you have for us. Make us more like you and less like ourselves. We sure do love you, Lord. Amen.
Tell you what, there's enough message in that song to give an altar call. Yes, sir. I hope you listen to it. Those of you that are here and church attendance has become so casual to you, you just put your time in and you go home. God wants to change our lives. Tonight, the sermon is entitled, Let Not My Enemies Triumph Over Me. Psalm 25:2 says, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. This is a psalm of David's. And David is praying. He's talking to the Lord here. I wonder how many times David thought this very prayer, let not mine enemies triumph over me. If you know the story of David, when he was a young man, he attended to his father's sheep. The story is told of one day a lion came and it came to steal one of the sheep from his father's flock. That lion was the enemy of David. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were about to defend the sheep against a lion, I would be saying to myself, Lord, let not mine enemy triumph over me. I'm sure at that moment David said, I'm going to take on a lion. God, I've got to have victory. The story is told that David at another time faces a bear. That bear comes to steal one of the flock. And David, I'm sure, again, prayed that prayer either out loud or silently as the bear approached and David was going to fight a bear. And I'm sure he said, let not mine enemy triumph over me. We've all heard the story of Goliath, a man who I believe was over 9 foot tall. And Goliath came and again was bothering the flock, this time not the flock of David's earthly father, but the flock of David's heavenly father. And he was bothering the flock of God's people. And David went out to fight Goliath. David was just a lad. And Goliath had a mighty sword and a spear. And David had a slingshot. And I'm sure that before David went out to face this mighty battle veteran named Goliath, that David said, let not mine enemy triumph over me. Saul, somehow, the king had become David's enemy and tried to kill David. David was so outnumbered as Saul had his armies, and Saul had become jealous of David. And Saul at one time threw a spear, javelin, trying to kill David. And I'm sure that David, in the privacy of a cave while he was hiding for his life, said to the Lord, Lord, let not mine enemy triumph over me. After David killed the Philistines, you can be sure that the Philistines put out a warrant for his arrest. You can be sure there was a contract put out on David. Everywhere David went, the toughest of the Philistines were out to get him. And I'm sure the different times when the Philistines would come after David, David would have to pray that prayer. Let not mine enemy or enemies triumph over me. David was on his rooftop one day. He looked out and saw Bathsheba. Bathsheba was bathing on top of her home, and David looked and he lusted, and David got himself into trouble because of his lust. I wonder how many times David thereafter prayed to God about David's lust and said, "Let not mine enemy," what enemy? My lust, "triumph over me." "Let not mine enemies triumph over me." What a prayer. Maybe you and I tonight, maybe we ought to be praying this prayer on a regular basis. Maybe you and I ought to be praying to God and saying, "God, let not mine enemies triumph over me." I'm glad that you're a good Christian, and I'm glad you're in church, and I'm glad that you have a certain amount of character, and you have a certain amount of spiritual energy. But I'll tell you all, folks, if we don't get God in on our weaknesses, we will not defeat our enemies on our own. And I think all of us could and probably should learn to pray the very same prayer that David did. "Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." This morning we heard a great sermon on grace in our giving. I'll tell you, we need grace in our living, that's for sure, because we need the unmerited favor of God. We need the intervention of God to help us that we might not have our enemies conquering us. I'm going to talk to you about that thought for just a little while. "Let not mine enemies triumph over me." It won't take long. You can all steady your minds. I realize we've had the Lord's Supper tonight. You don't have to worry. I know we've had a long week. I'm not going to keep you late. I'll probably even get you out a little bit early. You just stay with me as I deliver the sermon. First of all, may I say, Satan is our ultimate enemy. Satan's our ultimate enemy. Acts chapter 13, verse number 10, it says, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" I'll tell you something. Don't you ever lose track of the fact Satan hates you. Now, he hates God ultimately, but Satan hates you. He hates God. Satan is not your friend. He is out to destroy you. And I wish I could get everybody's attention long enough that you would realize this. Satan has something in the hopper right now, and he is trying to pull you away from God right now. It is happening right now. Everybody here. Everybody. Satan is trying somehow to pull you away from God. What is it? In what deceptive way is he trying to pull you away from God? What is he doing right now? You may be as blind as a bat to it, but I will guarantee you your enemy of Satan is actively plotting right now, trying to get you away from God, trying to get you away from the Bible, trying to get you away from your church. I'll guarantee it. Everybody here, it might be good for you to shake yourself and say, "I wonder where that area is, and I better be careful of that area." And you better pray, "Let not mine enemy triumph over me." Somebody better wake up tonight, hit this altar and say, "Let not mine enemy triumph over me. I know Satan's out to get me." Somebody here tonight, I wish a light bulb would come on in your head and you would say, "You know what? That thing right there, that is it. That's how Satan is working on me right now. He's trying to pull me away from God. Let not mine enemy triumph over me." Who's that ultimate enemy? Well, Satan. So let not the enemy of Satan triumph over you. Let me say secondly, I think there are enemies of the Spirit-filled life. Enemies of our Spirit-filled life. Philippians 3:18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." There are enemies of the cross of Christ. There are some that wouldn't want people to be saved. That's what the cross of Christ would represent. But also, the cross of Christ could represent the crucified life. That the Christian is to live. You and I are to live what we call the crucified life. We are to die and let Christ live through us. That's what Galatians 2:20 says. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Hey, listen, and Paul said, "For many walk, of whom I told you often." In other words, Paul said, "I have told you there are some people that are enemies of the cross." Folks, Paul is saying there are people that will pull you away from the cross, or as a Christian, will pull you away from the crucified life. The crucified life is a life where you crucify the flesh and you are living in the Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Who are you spending time with? And because you're spending time with them, you're not walking in the Spirit. Who are you spending time with who has become the enemy of your Spirit-filled life? They are in the flesh. When you're around them, you're in the flesh. Do you walk in the flesh because you have fleshly friends? Paul said, I warned you, there are people who are enemies of the cross. There are some that don't care about people getting saved. They're enemies of the cross. And there are some that don't care about you walking in the Spirit. Why don't you take a good long look at your top friends and just ask yourself this question? They walk in the Spirit? It might be smart for somebody here to change friends. Yes, sir. Are you an enemy that's masquerading as a friend? If you're a real friend to your Christian brethren, you would want to walk in the Spirit, that you would never lead them astray and that you would not be a hindrance. They ought to go up spiritually by being around you, not down. You say, well, preacher, if I limited myself to the people that are serious for God, I might only have a friend or two. You're better off with one true blue friend than all the carnal people in the church. Somebody here might need to pray the prayer, let not mine enemy triumph over me. What enemy? The enemy of the Spirit-filled life that you're to live. There's that enemy, Satan. There's that enemy, the one of the Spirit-filled life. Folks, I believe this. I think we could have an enemy of our past life. How about the enemy of our past life? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, the fulfilling of the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, folks, there are some of us, our past can become our enemy if we're not careful. Here it talked about, it's in reference to people, what their past life was like. They were in the world and living like the world. They were disobedient and they were controlled by the lust of the flesh and the desire of the flesh, and they were children of wrath. Could I recommend to all of us that we do not let the enemy of our past steal our present victories? It's awful easy for the old devil, old smutty face, to bring your past up and try to use it against you. Listen, if you've been born again, you've gone to Christ, you've been forgiven of your past. That's behind you. The sin of your past is behind you. And as a Christian, if you've sinned in days gone by, but you've sincerely got it right with God, and you have said to God, forgive me, it's in the past. Don't let the enemy of your past rob you of the victory of your now. And all of us are going to make mistakes, and all of us are going to sin. And I'm not condoning it for a moment. You ought to live right, and you ought to do right. But thank God we have a forgiving God. Thank God when I got saved, He erased my sin. Thank God I don't want the devil to use that against me. And since I've been saved, I've done some pretty stupid things. But thank God I went to God and I said, God, please forgive me. And He did. And I have got to pray often, let not the enemy of my past triumph over me. There are people in this room, you are virtually paralyzed in your Christianity because in your past you did some things you're ashamed of and you're still letting them haunt you. Some of you, you get it right with God and forget about it and go on. I want you to learn from your past, but I do not want you to live in a depressed way in your past. Let not the enemy of my past triumph over me. Learn from it and go on. God has forgotten your past. If you've confessed it, He's forgotten it. Let not that enemy of your past triumph over you. Let not the enemy of the devil triumph over you. And I said it earlier, I really believe this. Every person in here, the devil has something going on right now in your life. He is trying to pull you out of the will of God. You haven't even recognized it. It may be the devil is a masquerader. He may have you convinced what you got yourself into, it's all good, it's all wholesome, it's all just right. He is a very great deceiver. You better take a good long look in your life and see who is it, what is it that could be pulling you away from God right now. Why? You have an enemy. Let not the enemy of the devil pull you out of God's will. Then there's the enemy of the Spirit-filled life. Don't let someone pull you away from the Spirit-filled life. Somehow there's that enemy of our past life. Our sins, our mistakes, our misjudgments. Let not the enemy of your past triumph over you. There may be somebody in that balcony on the lower floor in the choir. You may need to leave your seat tonight, come to this altar and say, "Dear God, please. My past haunts me and I've done some things. I'm ashamed of it. But God, I want to leave that behind. I don't want the enemy of my past to triumph over me." When you get up off your knees at this altar, you say, "God, I am going to walk away and I will not let the enemy of my past keep me from doing something from God, for God from here on out." Number four, the enemies of our weaknesses. The enemy of our weaknesses. Psalm 6:2 says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak." I'm weak. Don't let your weaknesses triumph over you. You say, "I'm weak." Just keep going for God. You say, "I'm weary." Keep going for God. You say, "I'm tired." Keep going for God. What is your weakness? What is that sin that you repeatedly seem to stumble over? We might call it our vice. What is that? You say, "I've got this weakness and I try and I fail and I try and I fail and I try and I fail." Don't give up, dear Christian. You just keep on trying. And somebody may need to come to this altar tonight and you get down here on your knees and say, "Oh God, let not the enemy of my weakness triumph over me." Now, everybody has one. Everybody under the sound of my voice, you have something that is a repetitive failure of yours. It's something that keeps on getting you. It's that thing that just haunts you and you stumble and stumble and stumble. And sometimes you even get tired of telling the Lord about it to the point where you say, "I just give up." Don't give up. You say to God, "Let not mine enemy triumph over me." I really believe that after David committed his adultery with Bathsheba, David had to keep saying to himself, "Oh God, I fell. Oh God, I made a mistake. Let not the enemy of my past triumph over me. Let not this passion that I had for that woman triumph over me." Hey, what is your weakness? Say to God, "Let not mine enemy triumph over me." Is it your tongue? You just have a loose tongue and for some reason you get to gossiping and saying things that's not your business. Is that your weakness? Is that your repetitive sin? And you need to come to this altar and say, "God, help me with my tongue. Let not the enemy of my tongue triumph over me." Is it your temper? Your short fuse? Maybe you need to come to this altar tonight and say, "Let not the enemy of my temper triumph over me." Your lack of self-control, you come to this altar and say, "Dear God, let not the enemy of my lack of controlling myself triumph over me." Is it a character flaw? Are you late constantly? Let not the enemy of my poor character triumph over me. Do you not keep your word? Let not the enemy of my poor character triumph over me. Is it keeping your commitments? Let not the enemy of my poor character triumph over me. What is your enemy tonight? What is trying to hurt you? What is trying to slow you down? What is trying to pull you away from God? David said, I had to call on God so the bear could not triumph over me. I had to call on God so the lion didn't triumph over me. I had to call on God so Goliath did not triumph over me. I had to call on God so Saul did not triumph over me. And I think David wished he would have called on God a few more times before he faced that situation with Bathsheba. But I'll guarantee
see after he committed that sin, he was walking around saying, "Oh God, let not mine enemy triumph over me. I don't want to make that mistake again. But let not that sin, that weakness triumph over me." Folks, don't give up. Become a fighter. Fight for what's right. Fight to do right. And you're going to have your biggest fight with yourself. You have to tell you to do what's right. You go to God and say, "Oh God, let not mine enemy triumph over me." You and God, you join the same army. You say, "Who are we going to fight against?" You're going to fight against your flesh. The enemy of our weaknesses. Let not the enemy of my weakness triumph over me. Number five, how about the enemy of your strength? The enemy of your strength. 2 Corinthians 12:10, it says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Wow. Isn't that interesting? Let me ask you a question. Has your strength become your enemy? You're a good musician, but it's gone to your head. Now your pride is destroying you. What's happened? Your strength has become your enemy. You're a good organizer, but it affects your goodness to people and your patience with people because you're so superior to them. And now you've got a bad attitude. What happened? Your strength has now become your weakness. Your strength has become your enemy. Let me warn you, every young man in here, and boy, do we have a batch of young preacher boys in here. I want you to learn how to put a sermon together. I want you to learn how to tell a joke. And I want you to learn how to illustrate. And I want you to learn all of that. But I'll tell you something. If you ever become such a good orator, if you ever become such a good preacher, if you ever become the kind of person that people are just enthralled by listening to you, and it gets to the point where you don't spend time with the Holy Ghost of God, and you don't think that you need to go to your God in prayer and throw your face or throw your body and your face to the ground and beg God's power, your strength of being a good preacher has become your enemy. Because this isn't all about your personality. It's all about the Holy Spirit of God doing a work. Someone's strength can become their enemy. Someone's strength. You say, "I've got strength in business." Be careful that that strength does not become the enemy of the church. All over the place, there are men, businessmen, that try to run the church and they're hard on the preacher and criticize him. Don't let your strength become your enemy. Don't let your strength become your enemy. I've watched it happen time and time again. You tell me, what are you best at? Everybody here, you're good at something. Some of you are saying, "Preacher, there are so many things it's hard for me to tell you what I'm good at." Everybody here, everybody in that choir, everybody in this congregation, you are good at something. You better be careful that that is not the thing that destroys your relationship with you and God, you and your pastor, you and your church, because our strengths can become our enemies. Let not the enemy of your strength become or triumph over you. How about the enemy in your mind? The enemy in your mind. Listen to this verse. Colossians 1:21. It says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." You hear that? We can be enemies. We can have enemies in our mind. What have you put in your mind prior to tonight that is now an enemy in your mind? Think about it. What have you put in your mind that is now in your mind, but it is the enemy of your mind? I want you to think about it. What enemy in your mind attacks your mind or your heart's desire for purity? What enemy in your mind is getting you down spiritually? Listen to this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You understand there? It says you could put things in your mind and your imagination can exalt itself. You know what that means? We put certain things in our minds, and those things exalt themselves in our minds. They jump out in our minds. They take over our thoughts for a minute. You all know what I mean. You've got some music in there. You've got some pictures in there. You've got some memories in there. And you're walking along, and all of a sudden, bang, here it is. And you're saying, oh my. If you're not careful, you will entertain that thought, and that thought will take you right back to the pigsty from which you came, and it'll destroy you. Somebody better get on this altar tonight and pray and say, oh my God, I've allowed some things in my mind. Let not the enemy that's in my mind overcome my mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You better hope that the and notice it says it exalts itself. It didn't say that you said, I think I'll think about it. It said that thought has decided it will be thought about. It exalts itself. Pops up. Just like on your computer, all the pop-ups. All the filth, you say, oh, I don't want that on there. Your mind does the same thing to you, doesn't it? You've got mental pop-ups. What music have you put into your mind? You know the lyrics. Doesn't take much to get you going. You can be singing it without even thinking about it. What's the enemy in your mind? What pictures? What pictures have you allowed in your mind? And some of you young people, you think that you're sowing your wild oats, and you think your preacher's old-fashioned and stupid and too straight-laced. There's going to come a day, possibly, where you want to have a pure marriage. There's going to come a day when you'd like to have some peace in your life. And there's going to come a day after you've sowed your wild oats and every boy on the block's had your body, and you're ready to slow this thing down and get yourself straightened out. And you will curse the day that you opened up your mind to all the pornography. And you will curse the day that you opened your mind up to all the filthy music. You'll look back and say, would to God I would listen to my preacher. Would to God I would have put that trash in my mind. And you will fight it like a war, trying to beat it down so it does not exalt itself in your mind. The enemy in your mind. The enemy of the hatred that's in your mind. The enemy of the revenge that's in your mind. The manipulation, the wicked memories, the occurrences. Let not the enemy of the things in my mind triumph over me. Let me finish by saying this. If you're here today and you're lost, you're unsaved, you might want to say, let not the enemy of death triumph over me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. If you're unsaved, death is your enemy. If you're not born again, death is your enemy. You better run, you better fight. But it will get you sooner or later. If you're saved, death is not our enemy. Death is our friend. Because we go to heaven. Death for the lost person equals hell. Death for the saved person equals heaven. But if you're lost, death is your enemy. You say, I do not want the enemy of death to triumph over me. Then get born again tonight, and it will not triumph over you. David made this statement, let not mine enemies triumph over me. It was a prayer. I hope tonight, in these brief moments and these brief points, you have been able to examine yourself. Watch out for your enemies. And maybe you need a moment at the altar to pray the same prayer. You bring your issue to the altar and say, God, this right here, let not this enemy triumph over me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, why don't you come? We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved and never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. If you have been saved and you have been baptized by immersion and you'd like to join our church, you come. Somebody needs to come tonight and you need to pray over what you're going to give in the Faith Promise program. Many of you are still praying about it. And in a little while, we'll pass out those cards, but maybe you need to come. But I believe there are people in here, this thing of the enemies, you need to come up here and pray that same prayer. Oh, God, let not mine enemies triumph over me. There's some of you, you've got some things in your mind and you better go to war with those things, but you better get God in on it or you'll never have victory. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Who here tonight would say, Brother Owens, God has specifically spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand? Hands all over the auditorium, in the balcony, on the lower floor. You put your hands down. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin.